Okay, gentlemen, today's daf is a bit premature because it's Pei Gimel, but nonetheless, we're going to do it. Parg is an image, is a premature, but it's also a fig. It's the same thing. Autumn Arish had eight sadas because it was a bit premature. It was meant to be. That's why we call a fig a parg. No. That's according to Mad Yom, the eight sadas was a fig. That's a fig leaf. That's a, no, but that's a gemara. That's not, that's, yeah. Okay, anyway, whether it's a fig or a parg, we can go ahead and learn today. So, yesterday, we saw that we have the machlokas in the Mishnah. The way we understood the machlokas in the Mishnah, I'll leave it to Rabbi Elazar, at least the way Rabbi Yochan understood. I'll leave it to Rabbi Eliezer. And Androgynous is only a chiyav stila as a zocher, normal Mishkav zocher, whereas according to Rabbi Yossi, and Androgynous is also considered to be a vaday zocher, the way Rabbi Yochan was learning, except that Rabbi Yossi holds that you would be chayav on both mikaymes of a zocher, which is a rather strange situation, because we would have such a thing over here as a chiev on a zocher of vaginal intercourse. Very, very strange, but that would be the sheet of Ruvius. Omar Rav, today we learn less two words of Bebez on Bebez. Omar Rav, less of the Maslitz and Mikami price. Look, we cannot follow what it says over here in the Mishnah of Ibn Rav Yossi that Androgynous is Vada zocher to be Machil Betruma, which according to Rav Yochan means Truma Diraisa and Chazav Ashok and so on, because we found in a brisa that Rav Yossi does not hold that way. The Tanya Rav Yossi Omer, Androgynous Birya Bifnei Atzmahu, V'lo Yichriu Bo Chachamimim Zacharim Nekeva. Androgynous represents a different type of organism. The Chachamim didn't determine whether it's male or female. Now, that statement is so confusing.
It's
so vague.
Huh? It's an internal contradiction.
It sounds like an internal contradiction. So Tosis learns, look, the only way to understand it is that Androgynous Birya Bifnei Atzmah doesn't mean what it usually does. It's a third option. But that it's basically it's just a different way of saying suffix. You can't fit it in clearly to one way or the other. And he pushes through, even though it seems clear that the Machlokas, Rav Yossi and Chachomim in that brice is dafka, whether it's suffix yish, suffix yisha. He nonetheless says it's impossible to learn that. Even by the simple words, it's impossible to learn it. And he pushes his pshat into the whole brisa over there, even though the Gemara says that it's osafik, and he says not that way. Yeah, it's birya, so what is he talking about? That it's not that way. He says tumtum. It also contrasts tumtum over there. An androgynous is this way, but a tumtum is definitely Zohar in a cave. I mean, so how can you learn? That means that he's learning that androgynous is not ketumtum. So Tosis learns, because of the chaos of the language over here, so he learns tumtum is not like an androgynous, which is a suffix because of its strange construction that the Chachamim couldn't determine. A tumtum is very clearly one or the other. When you find out what it is, you'll find out what it is. But an androgynous, though, it's real. It's a different type of suffix. The suffix that comes not from an ability to ultimately determine the suffix. It's a suffix because lo yichriu, we couldn't figure out what to do. The truth is, there are many who argue on Tosfos. The bottom line is, incredibly, there are six different approaches, la halacha, about this. We'll see that Rabbi Paskim argues. There's six different approaches in what he holds. And, I mean, it's really, really very complex. The truth is that the most logical of all of the approaches, the Maritz approach, learns that an androgynous is a spectrum of different syndromes, which is true, the truth. There are so many different types of androgynous, medically speaking, that basically androgynous is analyzed in terms of percentages. And therefore, that's what he says. He says there are some, loichwe, there are some that are zocher, some that are nekeva, some that are unclear. So, fine, that could be. That's very very profound shot in the sugya. Lamaisa, all the other Rishonim are different ones. The Ramban learns it means it's a third sex. It's a birya bifnei atzma. So now the Chachamim weren't machriyas the pshat that they don't know what din to give it in terms of mishka. But it's definitely a birya bifnei atzma. That's what it means. He learns really that it means since lo. That couldn't be machriya. It was clear, therefore, that it's a third sex. Now, the shaila of the interrelationship with the other sexes and so on. There are other pshatim as well, in terms of what level of suffix it is and so on. But In any event, this is Tosis' pshat. It's a very pushy pshat, but he's forced into it because of the lashon. And good, you should just keep in mind that halacha lamaisa, it's problematic. But in it, yeah.
Could we also maybe a very pronounced means like another species which still has zolfar in the table, but that even if it's a zolfar, it's not necessary.
Well, that's really what the Maharid is saying, in a sense.
It's a zolfar or an akeva. It still could be a zolfar in the table of another species, but it's not.
Well.
Not like that. Someone goes through the operations and changes.
No, that's just a so he may fancy up the name, but he's no different than any other Okay, so says the Gemara, what do you mean, according to Rav, you're being deicha mishnah because of a brisa? Why in the world would you be deicha mishnah because of the brisa? Had a rab, unless the brisa became a nesnisa. Who you say? The Brisa obviously is a mistake. The authoritative version of Rav Yossi is what it says in the Mishnah. Why would you say you can't paskin like Rav Yossi in the Mishnah? Because it's not accurate. Whoever heard of such a thing? No. Because Menashavki Rav Yossi Labarzegiva, all along throughout all of the Sugyas, it was always Rav Yossi who was paskinim together. You know, take a look at the Mishnah over here. The way we have the Girsa. The Girsa in the Mishnah is that it's Rav Yossi says, and together with Rebbe Shimon, Androgynous, etc. All of the other Piskei Halakas that we have from you, so as Rebbe Yossi says, together with Rebbe Shimon. All of a sudden in the Brisa, Rebbe Shimon has disappeared. So what we're assuming, therefore, is that, look, the default position is that Rebbe Yossi generally went along with Rebbe Shimon. If we find him, and we saw this earlier as well, if we find him saying a halakha that is not together with Rebbe Shimon, then he obviously has changed his mind, left Rebbe Shimon behind, and decided to strike out on his own in this territory, and to paskin otherwise. So since over here, Shafke Rav Yossi Labarzuki, Rav Yossi has left his chavrusa behind. So Shmamino, Hodarbe, it must be that he had chavrotas. Even the Tosfos asks me, why don't we say that he was Hodarbe from the Brisa to join Rav Shimon? He just leaves the question hanging. But again, it's clear what the meaning is, that his default position was to learn Alibid Rav Shimon, and they were learning together. If we find him saying otherwise, it means that afterwards he came to the conclusion he doesn't want to follow Rabbi Shimon Shita. In this. So Shmami no Hadarbe. Where Shmuel says, no Hadarbe. Let's have a Brisa Mekamei Masnisim. Okay? And forget about what Rabbi Yossi says in the Brisa. Clearly, the Mishnah is accurate that an androgynous is a Zohar Vadai. According to him, the only machlokas between him and Rabbi Eliezer is in terms of where you would be chayev on intercourse with such a person. Doshamina Leilik Shmuel. And we know that Shmuel, this is the Gemara, why don't we say Ad Rabba Lesson Lamasis Bekami Brisa with the logic of Rabba Singh and Shafke? And Shamina Le Shmuel, the Chayesh Lechida, we know that generally it's Shmuel Shita, that when he finds a Shita Yechida, we find it in a number of places, that he will nonetheless quote it, even though it runs against the way the normative quoting of the Shita is. That's true, says the Gemara. But nonetheless, he places the accuracy of a mission above a price. Yes, I'll follow a dasir yochid in cases where it's not acre mission. I'm not going to worry about what it says over here in the Brisa, since it would have meant being acre the Mishnah totally. Amri Beirab, Mishlita Rab, Halacha Kerev Yossi. Now, the Amri Beirav, we'll see, generally, Amri Beirav is Ravuna. In other words, where we find Stam, someone in the Beis HaMedrash of Rav, who is quoting Rav, it's generally Ravuna. There are times where we find Ravuna quoting Amri Beirav. So Rav says, okay, obviously there it's not Ravuna, but when we don't give a name, the Amri Beirav is Ravuna. This is important because later on we're going to need to come on to a Raya from the fact that Ravuna says something. I just want to point it out over here.
Did we always mean after Rav was there?
That they quoted Rav was after Rav was Nevi'im.
Yeah, yeah.
No, not necessarily. The quote is after he was Nevi'im, but Amri Beirav at the time that Rav was there. It's not after Rav died, we called it the Beis HaMedrash of Rav, it's what's left from him. No. So halacha k'Rav Yossi b'androgynous. We paskel like Rav Yossi over here in the dinim of androgynous that it's a zocher v'adai. U'bahar kava. Now, that's Harashi. In other words, I don't agree with what was said before, in which Omar Rav less a lemas nisan. So, in other words, this Amri Beirav being Rav Huna argues in what was quoted before that Rav says lesser lamas nisan, meaning that we don't follow Rav Yossi in the Mishnah. And Adarabba, this was a psak like Rav Yossi in the Mishnah. There are some Rishonim that are chelek on Rashi, and say what forces you to say that? Maybe it's he's not going on back on the Mishnah. Maybe he's saying now that Rav said that less of a must is becoming a brisa, so we'll learn like it says in the brisa. There is loyich miu bo chachomi. Okay, but let's learn the sugya kapshuta like Rashi. See, he's paskening, which seems to be the way the Gemara is going. The simple meaning of the sugya is that he's paskening like Rav Yossi in the Mishnah. And we also pass the like Rav Yossi in the sugi of Harkov, which we'll see in a moment what that is. Shmuel Omar, Shmuel says we pass the like Rav Yossi when it comes to two dinim. The koshi, again we're going to explain what all these are, or the kiddush, which we'll explain what it is. Now let's go through them one by one. Androgynous. Okay, androgynous, of course, is the sugi that we've been involved in. Hodi Amoron, where Rav Yossi holds together with Rav Shimon, that androgynous is machil truma. Harkov. Now what's Harkov all about? It's not. In notin, in mavrichin, in markivin, erev shviyas pachas b'shloshim yom b'fnei Rosh Hashanah. Since there is a halacha that before Shemitah you have to have a tulita, which means you have to have a taking root in order for what it is that you've planted to be considered the peres of the previous year, it takes time to take root. How much time does it take? So the Tanakhama says it takes 30 days. So if you're going to do an atiyah, so you're going to do an insertion of a sapling into the ground, or you're going to do a havrocha, or you're going to do arkava. Havrocha is you insert the branch back into the ground, or arkava is you graft a branch onto a living tree. All of that is considered to be brand new atiyah. It takes 30 days for it to be considered muklat, and therefore you have to have 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, and if you don't, so the Tanakhama says if you did any of these things within 30 days, you're going to have to be oiker the tree, because now it means that you're planting during Shemitah.
I mean, the tia, is that even if it had its own dirt with it? I mean, you had like a pot putting
that's
it in
sufficient,
the ground.
No,
versus a ball.
If it's sufficient to live in.
Right.
Yeah, no, and it's considered to have taken root. We'll see, it's even worse than that. According to Tosfos, the din over here is essentially a din for arlo, which for sure there's no shaira. That it's, if it has enough to live, that it's not considered to be an
idiot.
Wait, there's much, much more that's negating. Wait till we finish. It is no dialogue on the maisa, but not as you would think. Rabbi Yehuda Emer, kol harkava sheino koletet b'shlosha yamim shuv eino koletet. Let me tell you something. I know we get this 30 days from. If it hasn't started to take root in 3 days, it ain't ever going to take root. And therefore, you don't need 30 days. 3 days is enough. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Omrim, you need Shtei Shabbatot. Now, this is Rabbi Yossi, Chita, that we're saying. We pass like him by our Kama. So that means that you need 14 days in order to be able to take root. The Omer of Nachman, Omer Rabba Bar Avua, let me just make something very clear, says Rabbi Nachman. We're only discussing over here the amount of time that it takes for Klita. But that has nothing to do with the other issue. There's another issue over here. The other issue is how many days before Shemitah does Shemitah begin, which is a Din Tosef HaShviyas. That will be Chorosh Bekotzer. So, if that's the case, Laman di Omar, if you hold the Divrei Alama Shloshim, according to Tanakhama, holds you need 30 days. That's besides the 30 days of Tosef Shemitah. So, Tzorach Shloshim or Shloshim means you need two sets of Shloshim. 30 days first, Shemitah begins 30 days before Rosh Hashanah. So, if it says before Rosh Hashanah, it means 30 days before Rosh Hashanah. The Divrei Alama Shloshah, Tzorach Shloshah or Shloshim. Of course, if you say three for Klita, that means you need a total of 33 days. L'divrei ha'omer shtei shabbatot, tzorich shtei shabbatot u'shloshim. Furthermore, if you hold you need 14 days, you basically need 44 days. And this is how we paskin alibid Rav Yossi. So now, again, kipshuta in Rav Rashi is learning this again. Kipshuta, we're talking about before Shvias, because of the din of Shvias. And the shloshim is because of the din of Tosef Shvias. Even though we do paskin this, Lamaisa, it is not Nogea Bizman Hazeh, because we do not paskin Hosafa for Shemitah Bizman Hazeh. There's no Tosefet Shemitah, we keep Shemitah only the actual days of Shemitah. Nonetheless, surprisingly, Halacha is Nogea, but for a completely different reason. So the din of Tosefet Shemitah, let's say if we were talking about planting, as opposed to planting grain or something like that, normally there would be a din of Tosefet Shemitah. Tosfos points out over here, he says, this has nothing to do with Tosef Shemitah. Qua Shemitah. Because the din is that by Netiyah, there's no din of Tosefet. There's only a din of Tosefet by Zariah. Therefore, what we're talking over here, and this indeed we do paskin, that's Nagiyah Bizman Azeh, what we're talking over here is the problem of confusion with Dinam of Orba. Because in order for this to be registered as the first year of the tree, you need Shloshim, because Shloshim Yom Shana is Choshim Shana, not because of Shemitah. So therefore, if you don't have 14 days, or 3 days, or 30 days, whatever the case may be for Klita, before the 30 days that register of the year, so now you're going to end up with a problem of people considering this to be the Shana Rishana when it really isn't. And because of that, Bizman Azer, we do have a din of 44 days, but only in terms of Netiyah, because it's only Nogea Orla. So we have an exact reversal. Normally, the din of Tosefet Shemitah would be Nogea Zriah. For Zriah, you can plant all the way up to Erev Rosh Hashanah. No problem, Bizman Azer. But if you're planting something which is a fruit tree, so now there's going to be questions of Orla, then indeed we pass it on like the Tosfos, that you cannot plant this within 44 days because of the chashash that people will eat the Orla thinking it's Neter Avoid. Okay, but that's again, it's just a curious, very curious reversal. Allah Chalamais at the Pashas of the Surah.
It's two basically.
Correct, that's right. That's Zayinov is the end. So now, that's the other thing. Now, that's Raz. Sak? Ilanis, Arkova. Shmuel? Now, Shmuel doesn't tell us what he holds about Ilanis and Arkova. I think I was going to ask that later on. Is he adding? Is he arguing? But anyway, he says we pass like Rabbi Yossi when it comes to Koshi and when it comes to Kiddush. Now, what's that? Well, Koshi. Okay, the din of Koshi is normally, we know that in the 11 days between sets of Nibes, we have over there a period of time in which there's Shalosh Riyos, one after the other, that creates a problem of Ziva, Safakadeva, and now she would need the Shivas Nekiyim and Karbonas and so on. She becomes a Bechuseret Kippurim. However, since the Darshan of the Torah, Zova, Zave Zova, Zova Machmat Atzma, Velo Machmat Vlad, if there is something, Yehudala, there is something that is triggering this bleeding, then the bleeding is considered not to be because of Ziva. So suppose she's pregnant, and she's close to birth, then we view, and she's suffering now contractions, we view the bleeding as being due to the contractions, it's part of the Leda, and therefore we'll have a Tumas Leda, but we will not have a Tumas Leda dissolve, because a Leda normally doesn't need Shivas Nekiyim. A Leda we have done Tyra, and that's all, boom, then she's a Tfilas Yom Aruch, and then we have our normal dinner. But if she's Yoledes Bezov, then we get into all these additional problems, because then we have the Shail of requiring Shivas Nekiyim, which creates tremendous difficulties with Dam Toan. So therefore, you should know that if there's bleeding before a birth, there's no problem of Leda Bezov. But the Shaila is, how long before the actual delivery do we accept that contractions are causing bleeding because of Leda? That's the Shaila. So we call Koshi pain, difficulty in delivery. How long can a woman be viewed as being Tahora from Zivas because of Koshi? So this is a Machlokas. Rabbi Meir says, oh, I don't care. 40 days? 50 days? Well, what's the difference? Arboim yom or chamishim yom? Fact is that as long as it doesn't stop, there's continual contractions between now and the birth, this was all obviously, look, you know, there's obviously some vince of hormonal pressing for contractions, and those contractions cause bleeding. What do I care how long before it is? Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda Shita is very interesting Shita. Daya chotshah. It's only within the month of her delivery. Now, when we say the month of her, we mean the month of her delivery. Not her personal month, but the actual month. So in other words, if she gives birth on the 3rd of the month, she's got 3 days of Koshi. She gives birth on the 29th of the month, she's got 29 days of Koshi. So the Gemara says, it's one of those things where the woman is bound by, we find this in many dinim, is bound by the Hachroza of Bezdin as to the new moon. We find that many female issues are connected to the moon, and this is one of them. So that her Koshi is actually defined by the day of the month. So it depends. That's Rabbi Yehuda Shita. Now Rabbi Yossi, the Shmuel is saying we passed in life, and of course together with his Chavrusa, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, Ein Koshi Yoter Mishtei Shabbatot. Look, it's basically a function of 14 days. More than that, we view as false labor. And then if it doesn't produce, then it should not have been producing bleeding. It's not called Machmas Vlad. It's other problems. Other problems are included in Zivas. Because remember, as opposed to a male, where a Zov is not Metame Machmas Onso, an Isha would be Metame. The only thing that we have in the Pasuk is Velo Machmas Blad. This is not called Machmas Blad. 14 days before is not Machmas Blad. It's other problems, but other problems are Metame B'Zivas. So that's the Kosh. Okay. Shmuel says we pass in like Rav Yossi. Does Rav? We don't know. We're going to ask that. Kiddush.
What's you only know it backwards once it happens, whether that blood.
Correct. Kiddush, the Tanakh. Well, we only have to know it backwards anyway. Tomei, it certainly is the question of Zivas. Is it later as Zivas? Kiddush, the Tanakh. Kiddush, what we're talking about, Kiddush is where what we there's many uses of Kiddush. It could be who's chayav in Kiddush, male or female. It could be can a woman be Makadish, the offer of the Paraduma. But it's neither of the above. Actually, we have another Kiddush. What's the Kiddush? Pentukdash. Pentukdash by Kilayim. So the question over here is Nogea Kiddush Kilayim. And that's a Mishnah, it's not. HaMisach, it's a famous Mishnah because it enters into the question of whether we're doing did it the Gaimbi. Where people cause damage, where the damage is a direct result of what they do, but there is no physical causality from what they do. Okay? So if you cause quantum damage, you know, that's the question. You can't find a simple cause and effect. According to Rabbi Meir, doing did it the Gaimbi, that's what it becomes an important Mishnah. But for us, we're not interested in that element of it. We're interested in the question of whether Hamasachech Gafno Agabi Tuatosho Kaviro. Somebody goes ahead now, and his neighbor has got a field of Tua, and this guy, your next door neighbor, takes his vines and spreads them out over a nice trellis, right on top of this guy's Tua. Sure looks like you lay a carrot to me. Harezek Kiddush. So first of all, he answers the Tua. And not only that, he's going to have to pay for it. Chayav b'achrayut todis, because it's considered to be garmi, and he's going to have to pay for it to be Rabbi Meir. Whereas, and here's our Rabbi Yossi Shita, Rabbi Yossi, and of course his faithful chavrus and Rabbi Shimon Imri, that ein adam oser davar shein osho. What does that mean? How can you go ahead and create a quantum iser when the only thing that is required of the owner can do something like that? Tosis, what is that supposed to mean? And if you take a tray for chicken and put it to somebody's body, you say only the owner can ask for Dover Shener Shalom. Dover Shalom, but nobody else can ask for Dover Shener Shalom. Why isn't this a direct is? What makes it a quantum is? Tosis says the point over here is clearly that Kilayim is a function of consciousness. We see that for many, many cases in which exactly the same situation, exactly the same physical situation, is not considered to be Kilayim until somebody collapses the wave function of the Kilayim. And makes it Kilayim. So let's say a guy is in, he's about to cut his field, all right? So he sees up ahead, ooh, look at that. There's a Kilayim problem. Okay, I'm going to get that when I get there. And it doesn't have to be a Kilayim. But suppose he says, all right, I'm going to come back after I finish, and then I'll get there. That is Kilayim. Many cases like that, where the question of what the person determines is the determining factor of whether you're looking at Kilayim or whether you're not looking at Kilayim. If that's the case, then once we're dealing with someone whose intent is definitive, so then how can somebody else's intent define the nature of your field? So therefore, forget about each whether you're chayav to pay. The first thing to analyze is not the din of the garmi, but whether damage has occurred. I say, he says, no damage has occurred. So in adam oser davar sheino shelo, you can't make somebody else's field oser b'kelayim. Okay. So this leaves now four piskei halachas, two according to Rav, two according to Shmuel. We want to know what the others hold about the others piskei halachas like Rav Yossi. So Iboil, Beandrogenes, Mali Omar Shmuel. What's Shmuel's opinion about passing like Rav Yossi when it comes to Androgenes? Well, Tashma, Yomar Shmuel, less of a bryce, become a masnis. I mean, obviously, if Shmuel in this case is committed to passing like the Mishnah, and he doesn't want to follow the Braisa, it's because he holds that it's essential for us to define the Das Rav Yossi, because that's how we pass. And what about Harkova? Harkova, Mal Yomar Shmuel, Tashma, Yomalei Shmuel, Ravanan, Tani, Kaman Yomar Shlosha Ushloshim. Better make sure, because that's how we pass it. 3 days plus 30 days. Ah, okay, so then he doesn't hold of the 2 weeks. Fine. How about Rav? What does Rav hold about Koshi? Taker. No information as to what Rav holds about Koshi. He never said anything that we know of about that sugya. Okay, Kiddush. Kiddush, Mali Omar Rav, what's the din now? Can a person be Makadish Kilayim in his friend's field? Omar Yosef Toshma, Yomar Hun Omar Rav, Ein alokhik Rabbi Yossi. Here we find Rav Huna, quoting Rab, as saying that we don't paskin like Rav Yossi. I don't understand. So, that's Rav Huna's opinion. Mar chazita desamachta asmocha, you know, we have Rav Adam Marab, alokhik Rav Yossi. Why are you following Dafka over here that we paskin not like Rav Yossi? Because the Amrei Beirav, what do you mean? The whole halach, take a look back at the beginning. We said, Amrei Beirav, Mishmei de Rav, halachic Rav Yossi, Ban Droganus Barakov. We're asking, according to the Amrei Beirav, what is Rav Yossi, what is Rav hold? Legabe the din of kosher. What are you going to bring a raya from someone other than Rav Huna as to what Rav holds? We're asking what Rav Huna holds. Because Rav Huna is the Amrei Beirav. So don't ask me, my chazita, let me be cynical, Rav Adam Rav. Because the Amrei Beirav, when we quote something, quote, from Amrei Beirav, unquote, mano, who is that? It's always Rav Huna. And Rav Huna is the one who says, ain't Allah. So obviously when Rav Huna, as the Amrei Beirav says, Rav passing like Rav Yossi in these two halachas, he meant in these two halachas, not including over here the Koshi perhaps, but and not including what Rav Ada said in Rav Yossi. That was the whole point that he was saying. The non-halachic Rav Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, then comes along Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda claims that a tumtum is considered to be a soris. And therefore, since the tumtum is a soris, he's not going to paskin with his, he's not going to pasul with his chalitza. It's not, no problem. Tumtum, even if he's in tzazok. No din of chalitza, but nation of soris. Asks the Gemara, Omer Rabbi, and what's Rabbi Yehuda going to do about the famous tumtum in Biri? And we know what the story was over there. It was a tumtum in Biri. And look, they wanted this guy to get married. And Usvea Bekurse, they put him on a chair. The Rishonim, most Rishonim don't explain what Usvea Bekurse. There is a Rav Avraham Minahar who says Usvea Bekurse means they dressed him up as a chosin and put him on the chosin's chair. So in other words, the point over here was that they wanted to turn him on. So if they felt if they would treat him like a male, so basically he would pop through his tumtum stuff, and all of that was just, his genitals were totally internalized. But if they would treat him like a male, so he would already start acting like a male, and then they'd be able to be good. And sure enough, Ikra, so he broke through his skin covering. Goli Shemabonim, he had seven sons, Gishmak, I mean, all you got to do is know how to treat a tumtum right. Everything will be fine. So, but what's Rav Yehuda going to do with that? Rav Yehuda, what do we do with that? He'll say, try to find out who the father was, because he sure ain't Mr. Daddy-o. So, Chazor al-Banav me'ayin, and we ought to start looking into who the real father is over here. That's what he'll do with that. Don't ever try to bring me riots about the fact that some man had a kid. Doesn't prove nothing. Tanya Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, I know. Tumtum lo yachalot, shema yikareya v'nim tzisris chama. So we don't do chalitza a tumtum, because what if it turns out that he's a tzisris chama? So apparently it's not clear that he's a tzisris chama. Don't want to have a shasakasha. We're passing a little bit of the akiva. But a tzisris chama, the Torah was b'mayit from lahakim lahakim shame. He can't be makim shame, and therefore he's not included in the dinim of chalitza. If he goes out and does chalitza, he's going to end up being semichon, that the chalitza is a chalitza. So he shouldn't do chalitza, maybe he'll turn out to be a soris. What do you mean, maybe he'll turn out to be a soris? Maybe he'll turn out to be a girl. Oh, to call them igras, zachrav. Why are we assuming that that's the only issue? But anybody where we operate on him, we remove the timtum, is going to be a male? No. That's what I'm saying. Look, I mean, first of all, shemi yikareya v'nimtza nekeva. And then for sure the chalitz is not going to do much good. V'afilu nimtza zachar. I mean, and even you'll tell me, yeah, look, it's a sofik. But shemi yimtza yisriz chama. So, my binayu, what's the napkamino over here between Rav Yosef, Rav Yehuda, and his own father, Rav Yehuda? Rav Yehuda says, tumtum lo yachlots. Rav Yehuda also says, tumtum lo yachlots. Is there a napkamino? Oh, there sure is. There are two nafkaminas, says Rava. First of all, livsol b'mokam achi. First of all, the shaila is, there are other brothers. Normally, if one brother gives chalitza, so now the other brothers are also to do yibum. So in that case, now the shaila is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, a tumtum, as one of the brothers gave chalitza, I couldn't care less. The guy likes working in shoe stores, that's his problem. But the brothers need to take care of this woman, because he certainly couldn't have possibly, because he's vada yosaris, there's no shaila. Okay, that's one nafkamina. According to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, wait a minute, it's not so posh. It might have been a kosher chalitza. If he's a zachar, then why should we assume necessarily he's a saris? He could be a saris. Often he's a saris, but you certainly have a suffix. Therefore, the achim over here are not going to be able to do yibum. We're going to have to do chalitza. That's one nafkamina. Another nafkamina, shalob amakam achim. Let's say he's the only one. So if he's the only one, according to Rabbi Yossi, well, what if he's a kosher male, lemaisa? He better do chalitza, according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. Whereas according to Rabbi Yehuda, he's not chayim in chalitza. This woman is not a yavama, and therefore there's no problem. So she doesn't have any problems of yavama l'shuk. According to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, she's a sofik yavama l'shuk. And therefore she's going to need chalitza, become sofik. Omer Shmuel bar Yehuda, Omer Ababa, Achua, the Rabbi Yehuda bar Zavde. And the important part is the last quote, Omer Yehuda, Omer Rab. Or actually it should be probably Omer Avuna, Omer Rab. Androgynous chayavina lav skila mishtei mikomot. So now, according to Ra, you are chayav an androgynous, whether now the intercourse was vaginal or whether it was anal, it's considered to be a zachar. Now, the Gemara asks now a question which is very strange. Mesa. It asks the Kashmir Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says in the Mishnah that androgynous chayav an lav skila kizachar. And where are you chayav skila kizachar ba meh devarim amurim bizachrut shalom? Only if you sleep with them as a zachar. If you treat him like a nekeva, so then you would be potter. So how could Rav be saying this? And the obvious question is that if we just got finished learning in the Mishnah, a libet Rav Yossi and Rav Shimon, that the whole machlokas, this is the way Rav Yochanan learned, there's no reason to say Rav should not hold otherwise, that everybody agrees that there's a zocher. Nafkamina was, how many places are you chayavish? That's the way Rav Yochanan learned. So what do we ask of Rav? Rav's obviously paskening like Rav Yossi. Makes no sense. All the Rishonim are bad and bad. He ignores this completely. So the Ritva says, look, the problem over here is because Rav Yehuda says it as if it's a libet kuliyam. This is the halacha. Say a libet Rav Yossi. To just take a Mishnah and pretend it's not even there. So that's what's bothering us. It looks like he's trying to say it's even a libet Rav Yehuda. Okay. There are other much more complex in analyzing who would end up holding like who, kind of shot it throughout the sugya, which others learn. But let's take the Ritva for the sake of simplicity. So Rabbi Eliezer says Dafka Bezakrishlo, Benakrishlo Potter. So why is Rav? Obviously, we could also say Rav Tanahu Poli, but we never like to say that unless we really have to. So who the Omar Kihai Tana? Rav is saying, since we find the Tanya Rabbi Simoy Omer Androgynous Chayavin Lavskila Mishtei Mikomot. And he has a riot from the Pasuk, my time of the Rebbe Simoy, Omar Rava Baram Duri Azbarali. Rebbe Simoy learns it out from Ezachar Lotishkav Mishkevei Isha. Now, it's all very nice to say that we learn out from Ezachar that there are two Mishkavim by a Nekeva, where Ezachar himself only has one Mishkav. Isn't that a little weird? So there's got to be a Ezachar that we're talking about that has two Mishkavot, which means that the Pasuk itself is referring to an androgynous. It's talking about a zocher who has mishkaveh isha. So ezeh zocher sheish for shnei mishkavot avyam is androgynous. So according to this, the Pasuk itself would be talking specifically about an androgynous. So the Rabbanan, well, you're right. You're right. The Pasuk is talking about an androgynous. However, it's making it very clear that it's a problem in his zachrut apagav. The ipe shnei mishkavot, it keeps stressing ve'et zachar. So ve'et zachar is now a focus on the aspect of him that is in common with males. Okay, most males don't have a vagina, and therefore it's only being mechayev you on mishkavechad. So wait, the rabbanon are agreeing that the pasuk is be'etzim talking about an androgynous. So now, is there a normal isra of a homosexual relationship? How do you know a regular zachar? Maybe the Torah is only asring androgynouses. But maybe a normal zachar is not asr. So zachar great aminoluhu. How do we know that according to this, if the pasuk is a reference to an androgynous, that a non-androgynous is also asr? That we learn, here we should change the girsa to the bachas girsa. That we learn minole from ve'et isha. So in other words, there's a ribui over here that the I'm sorry, mi-ve'et, sorry, he shows the next word. We know that from the word ve'et zachar. So not only the zachar here in referred to an androgynous, but additional normal zacharim who are just plain old-fashioned kinds of zacharim also there's an iser of los ishka. Okay, then again, you change the gears now. And isha shelo kedarka minale. We thought that we were really bright in saying if the Torah is referring to mishkevei isha by a male, so obviously anal intercourse is considered to be mishkevei isha. But now that we're talking about an androgynous, so then mishkevei isha means very simple mishkevei isha, what it usually means. How do we know that there would be now also a din of bir shelo kedarka? We have to finish in the Mishnah that the Torah makes no distinctions between types of bir. Couldn't care less whether it's bir to kedarka or shelo kedarka. Now we don't know that. Because the mishkevei that it says over here is a reference to a real human being that has two mishkeveis, not a zohar, and not a woman that now to tell me that a woman has two mishkeveis. So how now do we know that isha shelo kedarka is the girsa minale? Oh, that we know from the word me'isha. Because we didn't have to say mishkevei isha. Because if we would have said mishkevei, I mean, we got enough imagination to figure out what mishkevei are, right? I mean, there's only two possibilities. So therefore, you don't have to tell me mishkevei isha. Must be therefore that the isha is coming to tell me a normal isha also has mishkevei. You should know that even though Rav Eliezer said over here that an androgynous is a chiyav of skila, lo lekol amar Rav Eliezer androgynous zocher me'alya, he's not saying across the board that he's analyzing the genitals of an androgynous, and he's telling you that genitals like that are called male. Because if he was saying that, then when it comes to an animal that's an androgynous, it should be kosher as a carbon. And it's not. She'ima to omer kein, b'mugdashim yikdash. At least, I mean, why can't you be magdash a behema that is, if he's saying it's a zocher ma'alya, so a behema that is an androgynous should be a kosher behema for a kodesh, and it's not. How do I know it's not? Minolon de lo kodesh, how do I know it's not? The Tanur Rabban. Ha-nirva, va-mukte, va-nevad, va-etnan, va-mechir, va-tumtum, va-androgynous. If you have a case where you brought to the Beis HaMikdash a bird as a korban, and you did malika on this board, but now normally malika, cutting through a neck with your fingernail, is not exactly the best shechita. And basically, if you bought a chicken like that in Safeway, and you ate it, it would be metame, you have a Beis HaBliya as you swallow it. The only place where such a thing is kosher, not if it's a chicken, the only place where such a thing is kosher is in the Beis HaMikdash. Again, not a chicken. It would have to be a Toru Benyona, obviously. Here a guy brings a Toru Benyona that was Nirva, or that was a Mukzer for Avodas Gechovim, or was Nevad as an Avodah Zorah, or had been an Etznan that somebody had paid a prostitute with, or a Mechir was in exchange for a dog's value, or a Tumtum or an Androgynous. So that bird, if you would eat it, would be metami begonima beis ablia. It would be metami as you swallow it, and be metami your clothing. Says Rebbe Eliezer, and here's the important part to us. Says Rebbe Eliezer, there's no such thing as a tumtum vandroginus unless sex is important. Did you ever find the Torah telling you whether a bird needs to be a male or a female? Sex doesn't exist as far as a bird is concerned. Torah's not marketed. So the din is the tumtum androgynous is not a problem. They can't be metamer god and vice versa. Shohei Rabbi Akiva Omer, kol makom shenema zachar v'nekeva. If the Torah is makbid on the sex, so then atamot tumtum androgynous be benayim. Then you can exclude a tumtum androgynous. That's not the normal sex Torah's referring to. But if you're talking about a bird, Torah is never makbid. The word zachar v'nekeva never appears by any carbon oath. Therefore, ha'il v'lo ne'amar bo zachar v'nekeva, so yatamot tumtum androgynous benayim. There's no problem of being an androgynous if you're a bird. Well, I bet none of us would know the difference anyway. But in any event, you see from here that Rebbe Eliezer are only objections because of a bird. But he'd be made to this halacha that if it were an animal, it certainly would be included in the problem of the other problems. Nirva, Nevan, so it's not roi for kodesh. So if that's the case, I'm correct in saying that Rebbe Eliezer wasn't saying across the board that this is a psak din in the tzura of genitals. That's not what he's saying. He's saying it's a psak din in the halacha of such genitals vis-a-vis humans. That's all that he's saying. And the Torah extended the idea of a zohar when it came to humans to this halacha for mishkav. It has nothing to do with whether we really view this as being an absolute source. Yasher. Omer im Nachman bar Yitzchak. Not really.
Only
parakeets. Those are the lovebirds. Yeah, I know, but if you have a weird pair, it's also kosher. You never can tell with these birds.
It doesn't matter.
Says Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, I'll prove it to you from a more clear place. Rabbi Eliezer on there, Achilayim, Achrefa, Yetzidoftim, Tumtum, Androgynous, Lokidoshin, Velomakachin. Yom HaShoah says Lokidoshin is not the Pshat Stam Lokidoshin. You can't be Makish this as a bird. It's even more than that. It means Lokidoshin Bitmura. You have a completely kosher animal. That's why I said bird of Medem. You have a completely kosher animal. You want to make a Tamura with it. Normally, the Torah says Bein Tov, Bein Ra. The din of a Tamura is, oh, doesn't matter, you can take a palm oil, which normally would only be Kodesh B'Kedushas Domim. You go ahead and make it a Tamura, you got a real problem. So you're Magdash, you Tamura, so you're Kodesh. Doesn't matter. Ra B'Tov, B'Tov B'Ra, doesn't matter. But this is Bechlal not included in the set of Karbonis. And therefore, it's like trying to make a tree a Tamura. That is the ultimate in saying that it's not Roy to be called a Zohar. I mean, obviously, it's not a Balmum. It's Bechlal not Shayas. It's not even included in the Ra. And Lomekachin. Let's say that you would have had an animal that would have been born to a Kodesh animal. So now it's a Vlad. A Vlad also is Kodesh B'Kedushas Aguf, even if it would be a Balmum. So now you want to take this animal and rob it to a Baras. You want to go ahead and make a Tamura. It wouldn't be Mekadosh also. It wouldn't be Osa Tamura. Well, Mekadosh meaning Osa Tamura. That means that we don't view it as having Kedushas Aguf Bechlal. Shema, you know, what bigger Raya can you have? This is Rabbi Yezra's own Shita. The same Rabbi Yezra also Chachayev on an androgynous Kizokha Skila. So obviously, Lola Kol Amar, it's a din specifically in an extension of human sexuality that we learn out Bedavka from Lotishkab. And has nothing to do with the Psak Halacha about this type of genital construction. Rebbe Eliezer Omer Chayvin Alav Skila Kizachar. Tanya Amar Rebbe Kishalachti Lilmot Torah Eitzel Rebbe Lazer Ben Shamua. I try to learn from Rebbe Lazer. Let me tell you, they didn't trust me as far as they could throw me. And Chibru Alai Talmidav Ketarnagolim Shal Beit Bukya. You know those Tarnagolim, they're absolutely vicious. Yeah, another Tarnagol comes into the yard, they start pecking him after death. Well, I went into that base, and I was glad to get out of there with my tail between my legs before they tore me to pieces. But I managed to pick up one thing while I was there before they chased me out of there. Why did they chase him out of there? The Farshim said they chased him out of there because they didn't trust, they held he was coming to Lakanter. We find the Talmidim of Rabbi Meir. It's the whole issue. Don't let them in here, they're just going to make trouble. Don't let them into the base of Medrash. So Rebbe is made on himself. Look, I'm telling you, Alachli Lumay Torah, okay? I just wanted to learn. These guys, they killed me. I wasn't allowed into the Beis HaMedrash, but I picked up one thing. Lo Yechuni Lomad, it's amazing, these beautiful insights into what was going on over there politically and so on. But meanwhile, I picked up one thing. Let's stop. Or if somebody isn't interested in learning, you don't want him around. You find these kind of people. They always have to show they're smart. This is a one-upmanship. Don't let him in here with that. That's a beautiful Gemara. Lays down, boy, Lamil, but this guy's not interested in learning. He's interested in arguing that.
Why do they think about it?
Walk away. What?
But why do they think about it?
I guess because, maybe because of his...
They knew he beat you with that.
They knew that he had agendas because it was... Yeah, whatever it is. I haven't seen anybody explain what's up with Chayshim after Rebbe. But anyway, I picked up one thing. What I picked up was that Rebbe Eliezer, Eimer, Andragan, is Chayom, Nov, Stila, Kizok, or Baruch Hashem. I picked that up and we put it in the Mishnah, and now we got that straight. Hadron Alacha, Orel. Yesh, Butarot, Papa, Yem, Yasarot, Yemehem. Ooh, there may be others. You might as well see tomorrow.